Thanks for listening to another Moment That Matters podcast from Belmont University's Institute for Innovative Faith-Based Leadership, located right here in Nashville, Tennessee. I'm Dr. John Roebuck, Executive Director of the Institute. It's my joy to host these weekly podcasts. These podcasts are being recorded at the Malloy Studios, part of the Mike Curb College of Entertainment and Music Business, located here on the campus of Belmont University. You may recall a couple of podcasts ago, we were talking about what it is to be a good neighbor. And do we really take seriously that commandment of Christ to love God with all that we are, and then to love our neighbors? Do we really love the people who live closest to us? You know, the people who live next door, the people who live in our cul-de-sac. Do we love them in ways that are authentic and real and powerful? Well, this afternoon, I just want to sort of follow up with that and give you some more thoughts about neighboring. And I want to sort of talk about this problem of time, because I believe the number one obstacle to neighboring well is the time that we have or don't have to devote to such a pursuit. I wonder about our schedules. Do our schedules allow us to be available to the people who live close by? Are we too distracted? You know, we do tend to run from one task to another, even on our days off. I mean, here's what's crazy. We live with more time-saving devices than any generation in human history, yet we seem to have less and less time to get things done. We can make calls from our cars. We can email from anywhere on the planet. We can DVR our favorite shows and watch them whenever we want to do so, even zip through the commercials. But what have we gained? Have such things made us any better at being a neighbor? Let's get back to this idea of time being a real problem. I think there are three lies that we tell ourselves to somehow try to justify our hectic lifestyles. We tell ourselves that things will settle down someday. We may not have the time we need right now to do the important, significant things, but we say one day we will. Well, I'm not sure that's the truth. I don't want you to think that a magic age is somehow going to appear in your life because it won't. The second lie that we tell ourselves is that more will be enough. With just one more purchase, one more achievement, one more goal, and we'll be content. We'll work more so we can buy more, so we can have more, so we can do more. I hope you see that foolish cycle. The cycle never ends, and we spend our lives always pursuing something rather than enjoying what we have and, more importantly, enjoying the people around us. The third lie we tell ourselves is this. Everybody lives like this. We've bought into a mentality that says being busy is a sign of success in our culture. When we live at a frantic pace, others will think well of us because our busyness somehow equates to importance. We don't have the time to neighbor well because we are too busy, meaning that we think so many other things are more important. The psalmist writes, "Teach us to number our days, that we might present to you a heart of wisdom." In order to be a good neighbor, adjustments have to be made. If we can only do a few things really well, then doesn't it make sense to ensure that one of those priorities is doing what Jesus says is most important? I read a quote this week that said, "Love and hurry are fundamentally incompatible." How can we create time? Well, we have to take it from other less important things. And so I want to share with you three life-balancing, time-management, ministry-providing principles. In other words, here are three things that we need to consider in finding the right balance in our lives. Number one, focus on priorities. It's the old adage that says, let's make the main thing the main thing. You and I need to figure out what are the most important things in our lives and then schedule around those things. That makes sense, right? But do we do that? If Jesus says that loving God and loving our neighbor are the two greatest commandments, are we scheduling our lives around those priorities? Let's be honest. Neighbors usually get the leftover time from us. They're not a priority for most of us. We don't get up in the morning thinking, I wonder how I can love my neighbor in a significant way today. Could your neighbors become the flock that Jesus expects you to feed and nurture and protect? Perhaps priorities need to be given a little more prominence. A second thing that we must learn to do if we're going to be good neighbors is to eliminate the time stealers. We call them pastimes. They help us to do just that, to pass the time. Now, most of those things are not evil. They're just not productive. They don't help us focus on the priorities. Let's admit that we all waste a few hours each day. We watch some television. We kill a few minutes on Facebook. We surf the web. We talk on the phone. Nothing inherently evil about those things. In fact, we all need a little downtime. But if we're not careful, the downtime eats well into our schedules. I wonder if we can make a list and then begin eliminating from our schedules the activities that don't contribute anything positive to our lives. Will we have more time to spend on better pursuits? Many of you have seen Michelangelo's beautiful carving of David in Florence, Italy. It's massive. It's extraordinary. When asked once how he could carve such a thing of beauty, he remarked that he simply took away everything that wasn't a part of the masterpiece. We might call him a master of elimination. So I'm asking you, what do you need to eliminate in order to have the time to be a good neighbor? Let me share with you now that third thought in terms of what we need to do to prioritize our time a little better and to be a neighbor that we should be. And that is to be willing to be inconvenienced. The question is whether or not we are available to the people around us. Do we allow room in our lives for interruptions? Can we see interruptions as opportunities to deepen relationships? An interruption from a neighbor may not be on your agenda, but it does need to be on your radar. We must be willing to allow the needs of others to sometimes disrupt the flow of our lives. Do you remember that parable of Jesus? It talked about a friend in need, found in Luke 11. A friend goes to the house of a neighbor and asks for 3 loaves so that he can practice hospitality toward a friend who has arrived at his home from a journey. At first, the neighbor is reluctant, but finally rises to give him what he needs. The parable is told in the context of a lesson on persistence in prayer, but certainly speaks to this idea of neighborly interruption. We have to understand that ministry needs won't always knock on our door at convenient moments. Are we willing to be inconvenienced for the sake of loving our neighbors? Each year, Time Magazine releases an issue describing the best inventions of the year. In 2008, one of those inventions was a clock named the Corpus Clock. Well, clocks have been around for thousands of years, so what put this clock on the list of the best inventions for the year? It had a large gold face like you would find on a clock, but no numbers. Instead, it had 3 points of blue light. One of those small circles of light rested where the hour hand would point, another where the minute hand would point. The third dot of light circled the perimeter of the clock, making a complete circle every second. And then on the top of the clock sat a mechanical grasshopper. Its mouth would constantly open and close as if eating the blue dot every time it came around. You see, it was a clock with a message that spoke of how time races away from us, how it's quickly gobbled by the various insects of life. I've discovered that time does pass rather quickly. And if we are wise, we will value our time and spend it in the pursuit of those things that matter the most. So I want to leave you with a question today, and that is this. Do you have time to really love your neighbor? Are you willing to be inconvenienced? Are you willing to eliminate the things that steal valuable time from you? Are you willing to focus on the priorities? Jesus said when asked one day, what are the greatest of the commandments? These two things. He said, love God and love your neighbor. I wonder how well we are doing both. May God bless you as you continue your day. Thanks again for tuning into this podcast. We'll see you soon on These Moments That Matter.